1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Bloom in the Phoenix Park. We have a fantastic show lined up. We've June Rogers, Doc Savage, Syl Fox, Liam Herrick and Frank Toomey, Seamus O'Rourke, Bob Carley, the wonderful Al Folan, the very good-looking Declan O'Brien and his brother through a previous marriage, Jan. Let Jan begin with the song of the week, the Maria Bailey Swing Medley, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, she's the queen of the swingers, yeah, VIP at the Dean. She reached the top, but then fell off, and that's what's bothering me. Medical expenses, compensation time. Or maybe not, with a beer in hand, in the other, a bottle of wine. Oh, whoopee-doo, she wanted to sue, ooh-ooh. But she dropped the case to save their face, boo-hoo-hoo. You'll see it's true that Miss Bailey can learn to use a swing like me and you. Oh, she learned to use a swing like me and you. Oh, she learned to use a swing like me and you. Suing if you fall off that swing. Moolah, 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 moolah. Oh, it don't mean suing if you fall off that swing. Moolah, 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 moolah. Well, it makes no difference with a beer or not. White wine, red or rosé, what you've got. Oh, I said it don't mean suing if you fall off that swing. Mula, 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 mula. Careful now. Remember to keep both hands on the swing at all times. Here comes Maria. Watch out! Well, you know it makes no difference with a beer or not. White wine, red or rosé that you've got. Oh, it don't mean suing if you fall off that swing. Moolah, 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 moolah. Moolah, 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 moolah. Moolah, 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 moolah.
I don't know whether you've been over to the Bloom Inn, you know, the drinks area? The fantastic. They have a new cocktail, it's called the Swinger. It's Tia Maria and Bailey's. Doc Savage.
I was just saying, Joe, Rip Van Winkle woke up 40 years asleep. First thing he said was, well, they're not finished counting the clock yet. So at least when the girl got the swing vote. I was just saying there, I was just saying, lads, you know, I was hoping to see John Delaney in the FBI here, you know. But he's on gardening leave, isn't he?
Joe.
And come here. There was a couple getting divorced, right? And had a little boy, 10-year-old. And the judge said after the court hearing, he said to the little boy, do you want to live with your mammy or your daddy? Do you want to live with your mammy? No, no. Why? She beats me. Oh. Do you want to live with your daddy? No, he beats me as well. And who do you want to live with? He said, Man United to beat nobody. Now, there's a couple about to get married, and a week before the wedding, they're about killed in an accident. Everybody say, I'm only joking, yeah. But they're up in heaven, and St. Peter meets them, and he said to St. Peter, can we get married in heaven? We were supposed to get married last week. Can we get married in heaven? And he said, I have to go and talk to God. So Peter goes missing, doesn't see St. Peter for 3 months. And he came back 3 months later, come here, he said, I spoke to God, you can get married in heaven. And he said, now that we can get married in heaven, the man said, can I get divorced in heaven? Look, St. Peter said, it found me 3 months to find a priest up here. Where am I going to get a solicitor?
She's back with us after a short absence. Due to difficulties with the revenue.
Hiya, Joe.
How are you?
I'm all right.
After making your communion.
I made me holy communion, yeah.
And how'd you get on? I love your dress.
What? You like
it? I love your dress. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Miss Carla.
Of course, it is very nice. One of the signs that the month of June has arrived is to see the children making their first Holy Communion and all their finery. I know you've just come to bloom today in your communion dress.
Yeah, I'm very shy, actually.
To say hello.
Yeah.
Your dress is beautiful.
Do you like it? You should have gone to Specsavers show.
Gorgeous. And tell me, what is it like to receive for the first time?
Well, I received mainly tenors and twenties. But I got a fiver off me Auntie Margaret because she's a tight old wagon, so she is. So will I tell you about me day, Joe?
Funny feeling, I'm not going to be able to stop you.
Okay, will you hold on for me?
Of course I will.
How are you? I've made me Holy Communion, as you can probably guess. That's why I look like a wedding cake, in this brutal dress. I've frilly knickers, frilly socks and a silly frilly bag. Me Auntie Maureen gave me that. God, she's an awful hag. Mammy says that Maureen is a spinster. She lives alone with just her cat. Me daddy calls Maureen something else. A frustrated old bat. Anyway. Our teacher sister, Agnes, she helped us to prepare. She's an awful hag as well. Her nose, it's full of hair. Yuck! She taught us all the prayers that we should learn to say and all we to remember for this our lovely day. Then she says, what should you not forget? Didn't find it funny when I said, sister, collecting loads of money. So anyway, this morning we all went down to Mass. There was 142 of us. And that was just my class. Some had electric tiaras, lit like a fairground ride. Some had the sunbed treatment. Not just tanned, but looked a bit more deep fried. Some came in big stretch limos, one in a horse-drawn car. Her name was Brittany Mulligan. She thought she was a star. But Brittany tripped while getting down. It was not a pretty sight. Because the horsey raised his tail and he covered her in Well, she got an awful fright. So when the Mass had ended and we were all genuflecting, I couldn't wait till I got home to start to me collecting. There was videos and cameras and all that hocus pocus. And me Auntie Maureen had a few and was completely out of focus. I gobbled me dinner when I got home. Me ma said I would burst, but to be other kids collecting, and I wanted to be first. I planned to do the whole estate and call it every house, except for number 63, because he's a tight old louse. I started out at number one, I did, and rang the doorbell twice. It opened, I had me hand out saying, me ma says I'm a nice. Me sister who had followed me, I thought that I would split her. Because she put her hand out and said, and me as well, I'm with her. So by the time I had our row done, it was nearly 4:30. I'd so much bloody money, I had to call secure a car. I bought myself an iPad and me ma some makeup brushes and a CD of Andrea Bocelli, because he gives me ma half flushes. But I didn't spend it all, and to count it is impossible. I'd say I've got enough to build the new children's hospital. So I'm lending it to Simon Harris because I know he's really stuck. He asked me if it was interest-free. I said it is, like, not a chance. But I said I want a rate of interest that's higher than inflation because this money has to last me till I make me confirmation.
Bill Rogers. And that wonderful timeless piece was written by, as always, the wonderful Martin Higgins. June's Christmas show will be returning to Taylor's Tree Rock in Rathfarnham at Easter. No, at Christmas. June's Christmas show, Taylor's Tree Rock. Sil Fox. You're back from your holiday, Sil?
I did. It's great to be back in Blooms. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves. I bought a bottle of Lucozade over there, and it said for energy. I can't get the bloody top off. I said to the wife, I said, I go to Blooms, what's your favourite flower? She oddlums. I said, well, it's our anniversary coming up shortly. What would you like for your anniversary? She said, surprise me. I rang her the next day from New York.
The husband, and he's coming out of a coma, and he's on his elbow, and the wife is sitting beside him, and he leans over and he says to her, "You know, love, you've been with me through all the bad times. When I lost the business, you were there to support me. When the house went on fire, you were by my side. When you let the hammer fall out of the window and fractured me skull, you brought me to the hospital." He said, "Now that me health is failing, you're still beside me." He said, "You know what? You're a bloody jinx." I was coming back from Spain the other day, myself and Eddie Rowley from the Sunday World, and we were sitting on the plane, and the captain's voice came over and said, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have some bad news and some good news. The bad news is we have just been hijacked by terrorists. And the good news is they want to go to Disneyland." And before we go, Eddie has two goldfish. I said, "What did you call them?" He said, "One and two." So why is that? Well, he said, "If one dies, I still have two." And he has two dogs. And do you know what he called them? Rolex and Timex. I said, "Why?" He said, "They're watchdogs."
Still, Fox, he never ages, but God knows his jokes do. Anyway, well, still, who, this man here, I'm not even going to look at you. We're giving you luxuries, one-night histage, heritage and hampered break in the Heritage Hotel, just in the beautiful Leash countryside. One-night cream tea and arrival, a private tour of Emo House, Court and Gardens, a heritage picnic hamper. That's from the wonderful Heritage Hotel. Please give your name and number and your tax referral number to RTE staff before you leave. Also, please produce your TV licence before 4 o'clock. Thank you. And they're Moving Hearts. Woo! Moving Hearts in the National Concert Hall, July. That's a concert to die for. Moving Hearts, National Concert Hall, July the 9th. Will you please welcome, in the heart of his constituency, the Minister for Everything, Pascal Donoghue, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Joseph.
Pascal,
hello,
how are
Dublin.
You?
Hello, hello, Bloom, is all I'd like to say. It's so good to be here.
It's been a crazy week, Minister, for you.
Yes,
I mean, Donald Trump coming next week. The local, the Euros, the $4 billion from NAMA, the departure of Theresa May, the threat of a heartbreak. How are you feeling, Minister?
Well, to be honest, Joseph, I'm a bit shocked that on this fine summer's day in the heartland of my constituency, you bring up all that shit. Well, in actual fact, I agreed with your researcher to come on and talk about the madness in Dunleary.
Well, that's enough. What are you saying? What do you think about Deputy Bailey and the swing?
No, I don't mean that madness in Dunleary. I mean the 70s band Madness playing in Dunleary. No, that's what
I mean. Yeah, but hang on. Liveline is a hard-hitting show. It raises the issues people are talking about, and the swing is on everyone's hips and lips.
It's on their hips as well, I suppose, yes. Well, let me say this, Joseph. I will be meeting with various parties and TDs to glean the views, and then, and only then, will I make my decision.
Yeah, but who will you be meeting?
Well, first of all, I obviously will have to chat to my friend and colleague and leader and mentor and all-round good guy, Leo, and see if in any way this has hurt the party. Honestly, Joseph, as you know, politics is a game of swings and roundabouts. So I think it behooves, that's a word I learned from one of the lads in the Brexit debate, it behooves us to find out if any of the mad bunch of the gadabouts, the parliamentary party, are actually contemplating having to go on the playground the voice. And then I'll be talking to the Minister for Education to see if we can get swinging lessons onto the curriculum. And then, of course, I'll be speaking to the Minister of Sport, if I can find him, to see if we can enter anyone in the diving competition at the next Olympics.
But will there be sanctions against the team?
Will there be? Of course, Joe, there will be sanctions, of course. And already the Ard Kiorla, which I believe is the Irish for adults, they have decided that there will be no more playground apparatus at the parliamentary party meetings. Then we have decided that Little Break is to be phased out over the next term of office. And, Joseph, each and every minister will take a turn at playground supervision. And anyone, Joseph, found at the playground without their helmets or their knee pads on, they will lose the party whip.
Now, you've got a lot of public support. Will that be the end of the matter?
Well, I'd say from a public perspective, I think so. But obviously, Joseph, within the party, I'd have to say now that Deputy Bailey is now fair game for a bit of slagging and harassment. I'd say she'd be top of the 10 pop spoof Christmas cards and will be immortalised by the Fine Gael party balladeers.
By way of a song.
Oh, 'tis funny you should say that, Joseph. Here is one I prepared earlier. Once I had a secret swing in a city center hotel. But 'cause my hands held many things, that secret swing did not go so well. I was so severely hurt, I could run and do my job. But someone said it might be worth my while to sue and try and get a few bob. So I brought them to the highest court, where the compensation wars get fought. But soon the papers had the score, and my secret swing's no secret anymore. Beautiful, Joseph. All the people were so mad, they all said they'd be voting green, and I was painted oh so bad. The Indo rag was oh so very mean. So I went on Sean's fine show, 'cause he seemed to be a nice fair man. But I should not do radio unless our Leo says that I can. So I've said that I will drop my case. Now they're swinging jokes all over the place, with tweets and Insta posts galore. I swear I won't be swinging, I swear I won't be swinging, I swear I won't be swinging anymore.
Bob Carley, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Carley. We're here at Bloom in the Phoenix Park. I have two tickets for Hall & Oates in the Ivy Gardens. Where, whose party is it today? What's your name? Come up here to me if you can, through the herbaceous borders.
I'm Teresa Morrissey.
Yeah.
And I'm from Fir House, and it's my 70th birthday just 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so you're 3 weeks late, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anyone who's... Oh, no, money miss.
I know.
Do you want... Brad Paisley, that's a country and western fella, is he in the Three Arena, or you can go to Hall & Oates.
I'll take the Hall & Oates. Thanks, Joe.
Do you not like Brad Paisley?
I love all of them. I'll go to all the gigs.
Okay, that lady over there is going to Brad Paisley in the beautiful red top. Yes. Okay, another guest here today at Bloom is Gerry Adams. Gerry, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing, me old flower?
And I'm told... Are you enjoying the flower show?
Oh, it's absolutely fabulous. I'm having an absolute blast. I always get very creative when I'm close to nature, Joe. I start writing poetry.
Poetry? You were president of Sinn Féin. You're now stepped down. You're still a TD. But can we hear some of your poetry? This is a side of you we were unaware of, Gerry.
Well, I composed this this morning. It's for Mary Lou MacDonald. I composed it while I was pottering around the rhododendrons. Mm-hmm. Not a euphemism, by the way. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? Not that well. We lost 78 seats at the local elections.
Pity.
Yeah. Well, you know. Has to be, to the point.
And do you think you'll ever make a comeback into national politics, Gerry?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. I haven't gone away, you know.
Are you going to sing us a song? Everyone else isn't, and they've been asked.
Well, I am. This is from my new album. Can I just finish? And this song is called Don't Interrupt Me, I Didn't Interrupt You. Well, my daddy interrupted me when I was 3. At Sunday lunch with my ma and me. So I laid down my spoon and I pushed away the Irish stew. Now, I don't blame him because what he said was incorrect, but I couldn't forgive him the lack of respect. I said, don't interrupt me. I didn't interrupt you. Well, I soon realized that these situations would happen virtually without cessation. There was always someone butting in and cutting over you. Some girl would giggle and talk over my head. Some guy would start up on a different thread. I'd say, don't interrupt me, because I didn't interrupt you. Well, I made me a vow they'd never silence me again. And I'd talk about mandates and mountainy men and devolution until I was good and through. And I'd talk about national self-determination and cross-border bodies and even inflation till they were so confused they wouldn't know what to do. And each time they'd raise their hand in disagreement, I'd mention a thing called the Good Friday Agreement and say, don't interrupt me, because I didn't interrupt you. Well, I've talked with incision to the de Chastelain Commission about moving forward and talking troubles through. And whatever you've heard, I'd just like to say that I was never in the IRA. So don't interrupt me, because I didn't interrupt him or her or that lad at the back or any of you.
Liam Hourican, ladies and gentlemen. And if you recognise the name, Liam's father was the late, great Liam Hourican, the RTÉ journalist based in Belfast for many, many years. Liam Hourican, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Welcome back to Bloom in the Park, Funny Friday. What's your own name? Mary. Mary, will you go to Il Divo? Do you know Il Divo? They're
Dear God, she wish she loves them.
Now, you're not going with her. Don't even know her. What's her name? Mary, what's that woman's name behind you, the pink jacket?
She doesn't know her.
She's trying to mouth her name is Therese Margaret. You and Margaret, Mary, whether you like it or not, are going to the Three Arena on the 17th of June. 17th of June. Declan O'Brien, Declan.
If you try to swing near a bar, make sure you're not holding a jar, or else you could fall on your arse.
Yeah.
If the swing's not supervised, a swing can be dangerous. In fact, you might fall. If you are a member of the Dáil, you should read the instructions when getting on, or else your experience will not last long. And the last thing you want is a TD, is to fall and lose your seat. If you try to swing near a bar, make sure you're not holding a jar, or else you could fall on your arse and end up putting in a claim. A claim is a thing you make when you're really hurt, when the accident was simply not your fault. When you make your decision in a week or two that dropping the case was the right thing to do, then don't go off and be a dork and have a chat with Sean O'Rourke. If you try to swing near a bar, make sure you're not holding a jar, or else you could fall on your arse and your career is au revoir. So never swing beside a bar, well, not without a safety guard. Never swing beside a bar.
Declan O'Brien. Here at Bloom, we're giving away overnights in the wonderful Herbert Park Hotel in Ballsbridge, newly refurbished, even though it looks fantastic. The best time to Herbert Park Hotel. Well done. Katie Taylor. Katie. Oh,
lovely.
How are you? You're aiming, what's it this week, Katie? You're aiming to be the undisputed boxing champion,
yeah,
by winning your fourth world title. How are you feeling? Would this be bigger than gold at the Olympics, Katie?
Yeah, said this week, obviously, you know, it's a lot bigger than the Olympics, obviously, you know, so just really looking forward to the challenge. And yeah, four world titles, you know, and now, you know, dreamed of this when I was a kid, and you know, with the power of God behind me, you know, I'll obviously, I'll, yeah, you know, duke it out for the 10 rounds. Might even knock her out in the early rounds, but I'm not going to be that cocky Joe before the fight, you know.
Well, Katie, I saw an interview with your sparring partner. He's a male boxer. He's a heavyweight boxer. He said you punished him, Katie, in the ring.
That's untrue.
You were hard on him.
I know, that's untrue. You know,
he was speaking from the A&E in St. Vince. Is there another side to you, Katie?
Well, I've apologised to him 420 times since. You know, so, you know, that's what sparring's all about. You just have to go in. You know, outside of the ring, I'm a really nice person.
Conor McGregor. Conor, how are you? Conor, is it true that you've apparently made a whopping $35 million with your whiskey empire, Proper 12, it's called? It's awful.
That is 100% true. That's 100% true.
Are you even bothered to fight again? Surely you don't need the money.
Oh, look, listen, if there's more money to be made, I will fight again. Do you know what I mean? If there's a fight on the table, I will go for it. Do you know what I mean? That's it.
And do you think you give up boxing now that you seem to be making more money outside of the ring?
Well, yeah, that's what I did in the first place. I made my name in the world of MMA and boxing, and then I brought the whiskey empire here, even though it tastes like absolute...
Mike, sick with boxing. Mike Tyson, how are you? I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
I'm a master garden enthusiast.
And what do you think of the beautiful gardens here in Bloom?
Some of them are really beautiful, you know, so I especially like, you know, the floral aspect of the gardens. And the beautiful decking's very nice. I've come away from this festival with some really bright ideas.
Eddie Murphy, how are you?
Man, how you doing, Joe? We all here at the Bloom Festival. Bloom this, Bloom that. Man, the goddamn weatherman said it was gonna be raining. It ain't raining. We all happy here. We got hundreds of people outside the tent. How you doing, Joe?
Chris Eubank. Chris Eubank, your old pal and indeed foe, Stephen Collins, a great boxer. He doesn't live too far from you. He was born and reared in Carbrae. Would you ever meet for a cup of coffee?
Well, would you believe we met for a coffee this morning, Joe? Yes.
How did that go?
It was absolutely splendid. Great to catch up with him. Talked about some of the battles that we had through the years. And he truly is a gentleman of the highest order.
And what do you think of the elegance of... the beautiful dresses, the striped dresses, the floral dresses.
Oh, the floral
and that's just
dresses.
What you think of the women as well. Like, the men are gorgeous.
The women are absolutely beautiful today. They really are, with the frilly floral dresses. It really is nice to see.
Jose Marino, why the long face? This is Bloom. It's a happy place. There's good karma. It's a good event, Jose. What's wrong with you?
I think it's very simple. I do not like gardening. I think it's very boring. I don't... Well, what's your problem? What's your issue?
David Beckham is here. David, I know you didn't go and see the Spice Girls, but what's it like? What was it like this week stepping onto the Old Trafford turf again for the 1999 treble reunion?
Yeah,
match?
Well, you know, it was incredible, obviously, playing again for Man United, you know, scoring a goal and all that, you know, and Fergie in the dressing room. I think it's the best football we've played at Man United in about 7 years.
Jurgen Klopp. Big night tomorrow night.
Massive, huge, massive night, yeah.
Madrid,
yes. Big night for Liverpool, of course. You know, have to play attacking, penetrating football, you know.
Harry Kane is on the other side. You'll be on the other side of the pitch tomorrow night. Spurs, Harry, how are you?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I'm fit. I feel great. Obviously, I had a very bad injury, and I feel like the scratch. Hopefully, Mauricio Pochettino here. I'll charge me tomorrow night, it'll be a very historic night for Spurs.
Harry Harrington, you must say you're back in form on the golfing green. You must love Bloom. Do you all the greenery, Harry?
Yeah, no, I really do. I have to say, make sure to pop over to the Flora Proactive tent there. The greens are up to scratch. They're absolutely gorgeous. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, just getting prepared for the Ryder Cup, obviously, being the captain. Oh, Captain, my captain.
Talking about Captain, Roy Keane is with us. Roy, you've been very critical of your club, Man United, throwing their bottles of hair gel at each other in anger. You say some of the players are overpaid spoofers.
Listen, Joe, they're overpaid spoofers. Listen, gobshites on Instagram and Twitter. You know, listen, I don't like that. You know, if I was to see, what's his name, Lingard or Pogba, you know, doing an Instagram story, I'd take his phone off him and smash it on the ground. Go on, buy another one. You earn 120 grand a week, you idiot.
Robert De Niro, how are you?
Yeah, very good, Joe. I feel very good. I thought it was going to rain today. It's not. Everybody's here. We're all having a good time, so yeah.
Joe Pesci, how are you?
How you doing, Joe? How are you? Let me tell you, we're very limited.
Al Pacino, how are you?
Hoo-ha, yeah! I love Bloom every year. Yeah, sister, give me that. Woo, one more time.
Let Eddie Murphy back in there, will you? Will you, Al? Eddie Murphy, it's good to see you back.
Let me tell you, it's wonderful to be in Bloom Festival.
Michael Douglas, how are you?
Yep. Well, of course, Joe, a lot of people aren't going to hear what I have to say, but it's a real pleasure to be
Jim
here.
Jim Carrey, how are you?
Alrighty then, I feel great to be here at Bloom. It's a wonderful festival.
Morgan Freeman.
Well, that's right. Everybody's here at Bloom Hall. Myself and Andy Dufresne are just looking at the gardens in pure wonderment, thinking, hell, Andy, it's a lot better than Shawshank Prison, ain't it?
Kim Kardashian. Kim, you look fantastic. That outfit. Gorgeous.
Thank you, Joe. You look pretty great, too.
Ever recover from that incident in Gay Paris in the hotel room?
Never.
Did you suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, Kim?
Absolutely.
And how did it affect you?
Well, it affected me in certain ways, but I just went on a shopping spree after that and click. Gone.
Al Foran, ladies and gentlemen. Doc Savage, how are you, Doc?
There's a woman walking home one day, and she saw this bottle on the ground, and she kicked the bottle, and a genie came out of the bottle and said, I'll grant you 3 wishes, missus. The only problem is, whatever you ask for, your husband will get 10 times more. What do you want? She said, like €1 million. Don't forget, he'll get 10 million. Doesn't matter, I'll take the million. What else do you want? I want a nice Rolls-Royce car. But he'll get 10 cars. Yeah, don't care. I want one car, you may give him 10 times more. How would you like for a last wish? He said, a mild heart attack.
Phil.
Yeah, I say I'm delighted to be here, but things are not going for me well. They're not going well for me at all. I'm even selling furniture now.
Nice.
The trouble is, it's me own. Paddy says to Mick, he said, Mick, is that your advert in the paper? Boat for sale. He said, yeah. He said, but geez, you haven't got a boat. I know, he said, I've 2 bicycles, but the boat for sale.
We are privileged to find ourselves here in the Phoenix Park, where we've just come across Danny Healy-Ray.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Jeez, almighty, isn't it mighty out of the world altogether?
It must be.
I never saw so many pansies in one place in all my life.
But you're very welcome, Danny.
Thanks
you
very much,
very
John.
You must be delirious at the results in the local elections. Another Healy-Ray in the dynasty.
That's right.
What do you make of the swing towards the green?
George, shut up for a moment now. Don't mention the word swing. Whatever else you say, don't to me. Don't mention swing. Swing is a bad word in the government.
Swing towards
the
green.
The overactor won't have swing mentioned. He's all right now with roundabouts and bouncy castles, but no swings unless you are holding on tight with water.
Fine take, but Danny Healy-Ray, there has been a swing towards the Greens. You can't deny that. What do you think is behind it?
Well, I think more people voted for them. Yes, that's foolish. More people put down the eggs in the box.
But it is climate change, isn't it?
I don't know, George. Do you know what I think is the blame for it? Didn't climate change at all. Only God is in control of whether it is hot or cold. It have nothing at all to do with fossil fuel. No, the Greens will tell you this, and the Greens will tell you that. But the Greens are only taking you for fools. Don't mind all that, George. You know what I blame for all this?
No, tell me.
Tis the weather warnings, George. It's the crowd in the Met Office, the whores in the Met Office.
The Met Office?
The weather warnings, George. Oh, listen. Any night of the week, every warning that's on, no, whether tis Hurricane Anna or Typhoon Fanny, tis a green warning. Tis a green warning, and Jesus, people are afraid to go out the door.
A green warning?
That's all. Do you know what? It's subliminal.
Subliminal?
That's the... Jesus, no wonder you have the job you have. No wonder you have... Oh, finish the sentence, sure. Indeed, great.
No one ever called me that. No one.
Didn't they? Well, they should. Well, I'm waiting later on the page, right? Oh. Joe, listen, I could stay talking to you all day now about the swing, but you know what's wrong? I'm after losing a very good friend.
Who?
I don't mind who now, Joe. This is a very important man out here. Do you do lost property on the shore?
Yes, we do.
I'm after losing a very good friend of mine. I mean, I'm actually after losing Donald Trump.
But you've lost the President of the United States of America.
Well, I didn't mean to, Jesus. Joe, I told you. I said, Donald, hold on tight. Hold on tight to me.
What were you doing with him in the first place?
What?
What were you doing with him in the first place?
Danny, where the hell did you get to? I've been looking all over for you.
Hello, Donald.
How are you? And this is what I find. Selling out to the fake news media. Who's this idiot over here?
Oh, hold on, geez, Donald. Donald, watch your mouth. Donald, this is George O'Fee. This is Ireland's champion.
I could care less who he is.
The number one thing in Ireland now, Donald, is talk.
Leave it out. That's enough of your old banter and crawling. If you don't mind saying, should President Trump, should you not be meeting dignitaries and 3 o'clock meetings and 5 o'clock meetings and... The two of you, I must say, are strange bedfellows.
Whoa. Watch it with the bedfellows, Joe. Right. Mind your language. You're talking to me? Listen, because if you are, you've got a couple of things wrong there, buddy. First off, Danny and I are not bedfellows. Never were, never will be.
Not ever.
Never.
I can assure you that.
What are you doing here? I mean, did you not have briefings to attend? Brexit discussions? Hard border? Soft border? Theresa May, Boris Johnson, they're much more important things than, if you don't mind me saying, meeting Danny Healy-Ray.
Well, no, maybe I should, but I'm not. We're not there.
George, look, Donald rang me. He was in an awful state. Danny, says he, I'm addled, Danny, says he. My mobile is going off night and day, and all these is people onto me wanting to know, Mr. President, what will I do this? Mr. President, will I do that? Mr. President, will I do the other thing? You have Danny, you have everyone, and Macaroon was on to you, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a French guy.
The French guy. Here it is. I wouldn't say so. Yeah. You have the name Danny down on the script. I'm not Danny, I'm Donald. Listen. That's all I'm saying. I just gotta say that. That's all I'm saying. I'm very confused.
And President Trump, when you come to Ireland next week, what are your plans?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of plans, you know. Jesus, you're going off script now, aren't you, Joe? You really are. He's confusing us here, old Danny. He really is.
Donald, don't tell him at all.
No, we won't.
No.
It's very secret. It's very secret.
Very secret.
Yes.
We're meeting someone, and he don't even know we're meeting him, John.
Absolutely.
Okay, the two of you, Al Ford and Frank Toomey. Would you please welcome Seamus O'Rourke, ladies and gentlemen.
The gardeners in their garden. They put their bottoms in the air and their fingers in the ground. They close off the world, they only ever look around for caterpillars and slugs. They block out the sun with their arses. Some block out satellites. No signal for miles when Marge is in the garden. She's growing flowers and potatoes and not quite ripe tomatoes and radishes. Who eats radishes? These gardeners potter and they plant, some successful and some can't, but they love cups of tea and their gardening mug that's free with every 92 packets of seeds. They love a good hose pipe ban and they water when they can, but of course mostly here it rains and it reminds them of their pains, their knees and their hips, their backs and their discs, their fingers and their joints and their bottom when it points up. And the frost brings more pain and the gardener's walk is lame. And what? That's what you get for planting radishes. Who eats radishes? They grow lilies and azaleas, sunflowers and hydrangeas, and listen to transistors that they got from their ugly sisters. It was a joint present from years ago. And they tune to Radio 3 upon the BBC because nothing would ever grow during the Joe Duffy show.
You.
For the coverage, it is poor, and there's too much horse manure and other shite. We gardeners really need the bee, says your man from the BBC, and Mozart. Let's have some Mozart, music to grow to. A garden of serenity, so colourful and so plenty, the barrow and the hoe going at it toe to toe with nature. What was once full of nettles now has stems and petals, and the children run and play and stay safe throughout the day. And of course, there would be ructions if the garden swing had no instructions. But health and safety will abound because bullshit can be found, especially in the garden.
That's the wonderful Seamus O'Rourke. He's at the Riverbank Newbridge tonight with his one-man show. And hopefully the audience will be bigger than that. He's in the one-man show tonight, the Riverbank Newbridge. Then on Monday next, the 10th of June, he starts a three-week run in Ireland's best theatre, the Viking Theatre, in sunny Clontarf. With his new comedy, My Aunt Bee, starring himself and Barbara Ní Chaoimh. That's the 10th to the 29th of June. There's a Harbour Park Hotel in Ballsbridge, bed and breakfast for two. That man that winked at me over there, he had bed and breakfast for two and parking on my phone numbers at the bottom of the envelope. Okay, you're very welcome. A new star. Stars have been born on Funny Friday. Stars have died on Funny Friday. I'm looking at you, Sil.
Yeah. I was waiting on that.
Yeah.
Our producer, Angus McAnally, spotted Aidan Tierney. Aidan, how are you?
Good.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey.
Aidan, Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach, tell us about your garden.
First of all, I would just like to say it's a tremendous privilege to be here at the Chelsea Garden Show. I think this is Dublin 4's answer to the National Ploughing Championships. As you can see, the Fine Gael Garden is getting a great reaction here, much better than last weekend. We even have some tulips on the far side. That's just the Oireachtas Housing Committee. I'm delighted to see. I have very little maintenance to do on the particular garden because Micheál Martin does all the donkey work for me. He does everything else I tell him anyhow. And finally, on Fianna Fáil, I think they've really embraced the whole sustainability theme because they've discovered that brown envelopes are actually biodegradable. So that should be an incredible compost heap.
Michael Noonan, tell us about the Fine Gael Garden.
Well, the one thing I'd like to say is this. What Leo didn't tell you about the Fine Gael Garden is that it was supposed to be entered back in 2016. It cost a small fortune. And like everything else, it was over budget and about 3 years late. It should have been called the Bulmer Cider Garden. Nothing added but time.
That's good. Pat Spillan, yours is the Kerry garden, obviously. Tell us about it, Pat.
Look, at the end of the day, this is a serious, serious garden. Look, tis better, tis more enjoyable, tis easier on the eye. Tis by a mile the most popular garden here in Bloom. Why? Because I said so.
Luke Ming, Flanagan, newly re-elected MEP, great vote. Your garden looks a bit, if you don't mind me saying, on the unusual side.
Well, look, thanks, Joe. It's actually called the Ming Garden. Now, not the one up in Blanchardstown. But no, look, we have a lovely little line of ash trees here. And we even have a few lovely potted plants here. So don't mind what you think they are. They're actually a new type of begonias. And look, with the potted plants, look at what we do is we put them in the attic at night and turn on all the lights. So this isn't live, is it?
Michael Ring, Minister for Rural Affairs and all things bloomy and sunny. It's great to see you here today. Minister Ring, you've gone with the agri theme for your garden, I'm told.
Well, look, the first thing I want to say, it's a great privilege to be here in my own role as the Minister for Rural Affairs. And in actual fact, my gardens here today, I've gone with the agricultural team here for the gardens, and I've even got a few heifers and a few ewes out on the garden at the moment, and there's great feeding in the astroturf, that's all I'd say to you. But listen, it's only about a fifth of an acre, but I'm delighted to say I'm still claiming the full headage and the single farm payments on it. And listen, the only one other thing I want to say here, as the only West of Ireland representative is, everyone up here is talking about biodiversities, but down where I'm from in Mayo's, all that means is weeds. And listen, and speaking of which, I just want to say well done to the Green Party.
Our own Des Cahill, your book's still flying off the shelves. Des, tell us, Des, about your wonderful sporty creation.
Thanks, Joe. My garden today is actually the Sunday game garden, and we didn't actually make one, but we're just going to sit back and criticise everyone else's. And all I would say is if the rainfall forecast from Met Aaron holds up, forget about bloom, this'll be blight.
Keith Barry, Keith, illusionist, magician, extraordinaire. Your garden, if I may say so, it looks a bit of a mess.
Thanks, Joe. Look, I'm here to showcase my latest creation. It's called a magic garden. So, as you can see, Joe, right now, mine is full of weeds. It's all overgrown. It's all over the shop. So, Joe, on my count of three. One, two, three. Now, eyes open, wide awake. All the weeds are gone. It's not magic. It's just Roundup.
John Delaney needs no introduction. John Delaney, former FAI CEO. Congrats on your garden. Congrats.
First of all, Joe, on my own behalf and on behalf of the entire association, this isn't actually my own garden. The FAI are renting it for me. So even though they pay for it, I get to enjoy it. And it's actually going to be put up in the back of a truck this evening and brought back out to Enniskerry.
Mick McCarthy, Republic of Ireland manager. No offence, but another garden that's in a state, if you don't mind.
Yeah, listen, Joe, what can I say? It's good to be here. It's blooming great. Well, I will say, listen, my lawn, it's rock yard. It's not a great surface, and you wouldn't half go over on your ankle very easily on it, so I've called it the Saipan garden.
Davy Fitzgerald, I see you've gone all things GAA with yours.
Look, you know, Joe, my garden out there today, it's unreal, you know. And if I was the judge, I'd give it first, second and third prize, you know. But look, I've lined it out there a bit like Wexford Park, you know, for the boys. There's even got a linesman and a fourth official, just in case I start roaring abuse at the lawnmower or things kick off on the flower beds, you know. So, that's it.
Micheál Amara-Hurtig, to finish, Micheál. You've no garden on show, but no doubt you're enjoying the day, you look.
No, the first thing I would say is Tawalon Gorgi Nan Sho. That means there's a lot of gardens here. And I'm just after coming out of the FBD garden.
The insurance company?
Yes. Someone took a tumble inside in it yesterday. And the price is after doubling. So you'd end up having to crash the car just to pay for the ticket. And one final thing I would say, I have two raffle prizes here this evening. The first prize is a weekend for two down in Cork. And the second prize is a week for two down in Cork.
Aidan Tierney, ladies and gentlemen. Aidan. Okay, to bring us into the next ad break, we have Eddie Murphy.
Man, we're going to go to the next ad break. You better enjoy yourself a bloom, man, bloom.
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And welcome back to Bloom in the Park. We have Sharon Mannion from Roscommon has dropped in. Sharon,
hello.
You're a young woman. You must be a great fan of summer festivals.
But I'm starting to feel I'm getting old, you see. That's the problem. Not able for them now. I'm getting old. Yeah, thanks very much for your sympathy. I know I'm starting to get old because I'm starting to despise anyone younger than me, you know.
I wonder why you didn't like me.
Yeah. And you know young people with their positivity and optimism. Oh, they make me sick. But the thing nowadays is everything is like, oh, be yourself. Just be yourself. You'll be grand. Be yourself. And like, don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful sentiment, but I can't help but be a bit resentful, seeing as it's the exact opposite as what was told to me growing up. Be yourself. yourself. Oh, Jeannie Sharon, don't be yourself. Oh, pick a cousin. Be one of them. But I think as well, I'm 37 now, right? I know, I don't look it. Would you stop? I'm at that age, like, where there's a lot of pressure to settle down and get married and have kids and all that kind of crack. And I think it's perfectly okay to say no. Like, I don't want that. I'm not ready for it. And I have no problem saying that. I mean, I was only telling my husband last week. Do you know, I know, I think it's important to be honest now, especially, like, we have our second child, so, you know. No, I'm joking, of course. He's very supportive. For example, he's at home today looking after the babies while I'm here. Yeah. At least I hope he is. I'm joking. He was due in any second when I left, so. But one thing you find when you become a parent, and I think particularly when you become a mother, is you start turning into your own mother. Yeah, a lot of nodding heads and some crying over there. Okay. So I wrote a song about turning into my own mother. So here, oh yeah, here we go. All right. I make too much food for everyone. I talk too loud on the telephone. I immediately sit down when I get a text. I want to know what you're doing every day, then follow it by saying, but sure, I don't care. I love your brothers more than you. I think sexting is hanging out in groups of six, and dogging is eating your dinner really quick. I have four good scissors I've never used. I think you should wear a jacket or you'll probably die. It takes me 7 days to say goodbye. Goodbye, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Good luck, see you later, take care. God bless, are you off? See you later, take it handy now. Mind the road. Goodbye, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Good luck, see you later, take care. God bless, are you off? Take it easy, take it handy now. Mind the road. I voted yes in the equality referendum, but I'm still not sure about your Uncle Brendan. I think hummus is a Palestinian armed group. I don't like to talk about how I'm feeling. I have dirty dreams about Marty Whelan. Sorry, Joe. I think Bob Geldof is a feck. I don't believe in allergies. They only seem to be around in the last couple of years, but I wish I could get rid of this all over body rash. I want you to call more often, and I want you to know I don't resent you at all for the fact that I could basically never fulfill my life as a woman, because it was a different time back then and we were kind of expected to be at home. And your father was no help at all. It was left to me to kind of pick up it all and basically swallow my own hopes and dreams deep down inside myself and leave them there like an untreated ulcer and hope that they don't pop up one day and kill me. Goodbye, bye 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 bye. Good luck, see you later, take care, God bless, are you off? Take it easy, take it handy now, mind the road. Goodbye, bye 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 bye. Good luck, see you later, take care, God bless, are you off? I don't want things to be awkward now about what I said there about resenting you. I do love you, but in that very Irish way that I could never actually tell you, in case you got a bit of self-esteem and turned into an American. Take it easy, take it handy now, mind the road.
Sharon Mannion. The wonderful Sharon Mannion. Now, I don't know, just for a serious few moments, a recent study revealed that in Ireland, we have the youngest population in Europe, with one in four aged 14 or under. With Ireland changing so fast, we've invited the curator of the Little Old Dublin Museum, Richie Hart, to come and give us a flavour of what Dublin was like in the rare old times.
How are you doing, Joe, me old Sagoza?
And I know, Richie, you've made it your life's mission to keep old Dublin alive,
I have, because, Joe, you know, people forget, you know, they do forget the old times, you know, they take things for granted these days.
And how old are you, Richie?
I'm 24.
No.
Yeah, 24 years old and 7 months to the day, Joe, and I still have all my own teeth and I'm up and down the stairs several times a day.
So, Richie, what was Dublin like when you were growing up?
You know, it was...
Fair old time.
We had a hard life, Joe, but we didn't complain, you know. We just got on with it. Now, my family, we lived in the Grand Canal area, you know, and for my father's generation, you know, there were very few options. You either worked in Facebook or in Google. That was it, you know? And he'd get up every morning at the crack of dawn and he'd set out in the cold with a packed lunch that my mother had made for him, you know, a ciabatta with the prosciutto or parmigiano reggiano lightly drizzled in olive oil. And he had it wrapped up in an old newspaper. And he'd go down there, you know, with the other lads and they'd stand outside the Google building. You know, and the foreman would come out and he'd choose 100 or so of them to go in and program software. Unbelievable. Their fingers would be worked to the bone, Joe. You know, and if you weren't chosen, just that was it, you know. It was home for the day and sit in the garden vaping in your short sleeves. Unbelievable. It broke him. It broke my poor father.
What was he like, Richard? What was your father like?
Well, he was a very violent man, Joe.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, not to me personally or anybody else physically. He had a very violent taste in interior design.
And how did you survive all that, Richie?
I had to get out, Joe. I had to get out, you know. I mean, there was nothing for me in Ireland, you know, as a young man, except for a job in IT or the banking sector or advertising or social networking HQ or a pharmaceutical company or build apartments or open a restaurant or a coffee shop or a hemp shop or a movie house start an arts festival or build stupid papier-mâché elephants and sell them in George's Arcade. That was it. That was all we had.
And what? So you chose exile?
I did.
Birmingham, Liverpool?
No, Southeast Asia, 2 years backpacking.
So what can people see in the little old Dublin Museum?
Well, Joe, there's a lot of paraphernalia from the Civil War.
The Civil War from 1921,
huh? No, the Saipan one, Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane. We have a rotary dial telephone, a book, and a Jedward poster. You should come down, it's a trip down memory lane.
Liam Hourigan, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Eamon Dunphy's here. Eamon, we don't have much time. Will you bring us into the ad break, please, Eamon?
Absolutely. Welcome to the Bloom Festival. Plenty of gin and tonics later on, baby. On to the ads we go.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Welcome back to Bloom. And just to remind you, Sharon Mannion, who stole the show. Well, she stole a lot of things here today. But she stole the show here today. Sharon Mannion is at Anderson's in Sligo tonight. Okay. There you are. That's a Herbert Park Hotel in Ballsbridge. Bed and breakfast for two and parking. Now, lots of VIPs here in the Phoenix Park. Out there on air in the Taoiseach. Sil Fox, they're all here. So, the Gardaí, their headquarters just across the road, have sent over their secret undercover operative to protect us all.
How's it going? The name's Bond. Oliver. I work for Garda Intelligence. I know that's a contradiction in terms. I'm a street fighter. I have a license to mill. I was sitting in my office the other day when this tall blonde walked by the window. I could see she was tall. My office is on the 17th floor. The phone rang. It was me PA, Miss Spendapenny. She was ringing from the jacks again. She said, "Is that you, Oliver? Get your cacks over to my place, big boy. There's nobody here." I went over. There was nobody there. Wrong address. I hailed a taxi. The taxi pulled up with a jerk. They jerk it out and I get in. I said, St. Bridget's close. He said, don't worry, I'll try loser at the next lights. He took a corner at 80 miles an hour, but a big fat guard made him put it back. When I got to Miss Bendapenny, she opened the door in her negligence. Funny place to have a door. She greeted me with a burning kiss, then took the woodbine out of her gob. I could see she was going to be easy. The mattress strapped to her back was a dead giveaway. Suddenly, she pointed two 38s at me. Thank God she didn't have a gun. She took me into the living room. There was a copy of Howie magazine on the coffee table with her mug on the cover. She picked up the mug and finished her coffee. I asked about her husband. Don't worry about him, she said. He's burnt out. In the bedroom, I asked. No, she said, in the crematorium. She took me to the bedroom. I could see the curtains were drawn, but the bed was real. I ran my hands through her long, curly black hair, but she didn't like being tickled under the armpits. There's something you should know before we start, she said. I'm a schizophrenic. I said, what the hell, the more the merrier. But she was great in bed. Oh, yeah. Until I got in. Afterwards, she said it was the best 10 seconds of her life. It was only then I saw the dead body lying on the floor. Who's that, I asked. He's an actor out of Fair City, she replied. His name's Rasher. It was only then I recognised the ham. I decided to make myself scarce. But where would I find the Atkins diet book at that time of night? I said, I'm off. She said, so that's what the smell is. I held her close and she cried, and the tears streamed down her back. Did I tell you she was cross-eyed? Well, I gotta go now. I gotta do this again tomorrow night. In front of a live audience.
June Rogers, ladies and gentlemen. Three Rock Christmas, Seamus O'Rourke. Seamus.
When the glass is half empty, this is about getting old. There's a lovely thing that happens as you get older. You get crankier and you don't care. There's a satisfying unhappiness that comes over you, and because life is now pointing you in the direction of the gate, this tickling displeasure can at last be vocalised, written down, and bandied about at will. It's an outrage. What is? Well, everything. Starting with small cups that you get in hotels. Little friggers of things that you can't get your finger into. Cyclists, individually and collectively. Clothes shops that only have tight trousers. How is a 54-year-old ex-skinny jeans model supposed to get his leg into one of them? Young fellas in tight trousers and no socks. People who wear slippers in the house. Houses with pillars. Houses with electric gates. And the ongoing saga of lawns. Yes, grass. Always growing, always in need of a trim. Grass is for cows or for growing in the attic. But houses surrounded by grass for no reason, apart from giving our lads something to do, should be banned. Middle-aged ex-skinny jeans models going around in fat man pants, mowing, strimming and shoveling dog shite into the hedges. Why does every dog around the country have to come to our house to poo? Guard dogs who lick potential Fianna Fáil county councillors. What about that? Cody, that's the name of our neighbour's guard dog. An Alsatian who, is as well as not guarding his own house, comes to our house to welcome canvassers, crackheads and ticket sellers. Bite them, Cody. That's what I say. Bite the bastards. But no, you lick them and then go and shite in the garden. People who smile to themselves for no reason. Why do they do that? They do it a lot in Longford. I can feel very vulnerable when the lad opposite me on the train to Dublin starts smiling to himself. and he doesn't wear earphones, and he's not looking at his phone, and he's not just being friendly. He's smiling away to himself, and he just got on at Edgeworthstown. The world isn't half right, and it's getting worse. The glass is almost empty, and it's cracked, and it's dirty. There's nothing but Trump, May, and Fine Gael. We in Leitrim are starring in our own disaster movie. Roscommon and Bee Extinction on one side, the Cavan for Sam Brigade on the other, coming down the Killeshandra Road with a mouthful of hot sweets. Run, hide, evacuate. Women and children first, same-sex operators next. And we, the inglorious cranky old bastards, shall stay and fight one more lost cause. We're out of the Connacht Championship, we're out of the Eurovision, we're bursting out of our tight trousers, and we can't get out to the pub. Take us. Sell us to the aliens. Let them do their sexual experiments on grumpy old lads from Leitrim. They'll soon send us back pregnant. And then we'll be fairly smiling to ourselves.
Same as a roof. We'll be back after this.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Bloom in the Park. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd please welcome Jacob Rees-Moggs and Boris Johnson. Hello, gentlemen. Hello, gentlemen. Are you having a good time at Bloom?
Oh, it's absolutely splendid. Splendid. We've been pottering around the Artemisia Dranculi and the Hyacinth Voides non scripta.
Rees-Moggs, what is that?
The shrubs and bluebells.
What do you think of the park?
What a delightful old park it is. We spent the morning at Dublin Zoo down the road.
Boris Johnson, you're very welcome.
Boris always gets excited when we pay a visit to his close relatives.
But your favourite, Boris, if I can ask you, your favourite next leader of the Tory party, but you're in court being accused of lying during the Brexit campaign.
Oh, I mean, come on,
But you claim that $350 million a week was being sent to Europe and you'd spend it instead on the NHS.
Did I? I don't. It's because, look, this is a great country.
You lie?
Can we just
Jacob Rees-Moggs, you're backing this man beside you here.
Yes. Yes.
Now, for people in the audience who can only see one man, please bear with us. The radio audience thinks there's two people. Don't tell them.
The magic of radio.
You're backing Boris Rees-Moggs. Did he lie?
Well, I'd like to answer that question in two ways, if I may. One in Latin, and secondly, using extremely long words which nobody can understand.
Go ahead.
Okay. In totem Britannicum, quam quam quod res ipso custodio custodiendis.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And secondly, in other words, hippopotamonstrosis quipedalia phobia must not be allowed to obfuscate the floxy nausy nihilopilification of those allegations about Boris's mendacity.
I'm none the wiser.
Well, I can't help you then. I've answered the question twice.
They say Boris is a dishonest, backstabbing, lazy, shambolic, possibly criminal egomaniac.
Yes, precisely. Absolutely perfect for number 10.
Liam Harrigan, ladies and gentlemen, finishes our show from Bloom the Park. Thanks to everyone who participated. Tom Norton, Pat O'Carney, Damien Gavigan, Laurie Davis, Tara Lockery, Grant Angus, McAnally, Sil, Doc, Jan, Sharon Mannion, Declan O'Brien, June Rogers, Frank Toomey, Liam Harrigan, the wonderful Bob Carley, and the extraordinarily good-looking Al Foran. And did I mention Sharon Mannion? And remember, Seamus O'Rourke next week in the Vikings. Sharon Mannion tonight in Anderson's and Sligo. Until Tuesday, enjoy the bank holiday weekend. Go to Mina Margaret and a slong of full.
1850-715-815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.